I'm Vikram Nanudekar here. We are back with the podcast with a twist, the twist being a change in the name. We are here with the Sports Bench with Arnav. Arnav Chaudhary is here with us now again from Germany. Arnav, hi.
Hi, Nani.
It was a long vacation, work plus vacation for you. You've been away from home since the AFC Cup started off in Qatar, and that was back in January.
Yes, you're right. I was away. Was actually here only the first 5 days of the year, then went off to Qatar, then left for India. Was spent the whole of Feb and the first half of March there. And of course, luckily, we bumped into each other last week in Bombay and had a lovely session out there in Bombay and with our friends at Kenkre. And we're now back with the podcast.
So back to Germany, you had written that the weather's been good, so you had a good welcome, but your team Bayern Munich has not welcomed you back in a cheerful manner.
No, it's a sad thing, and I think it sums up the whole season of Bayern Munich that so near but so far. I think if things went per plan, I think Bayern should have easily won that match and should now have been in the quarters. But this is football, anything is possible, and not always the better team wins. Sometimes the team which is luckier, which is also clever on that occasion, gets through, and Bayern have only themselves to blame. Congrats to Inter, but be it in the Bundesliga, be it in the German Cup, and now be in the Champions League, have themselves thrown away the season very, very easily, sadly.
Yeah, and the Bundesliga, crazy things happening there. Bundesliga is almost behaving like the IPL out here, the Indian Premier League, T20 circus. But Arnav, quite a few interesting things happening here. You were in Kolkata with various footballers and clubs, and of course, United Sikkim with Baichung Bhutia. You were here in Mumbai. What have you taken back this time around from India?
Outside of India, many people think that India is just about cricket. The positive is that what I see is that, and I went to even a news channel for which I worked myself and saw it there as well, is that people in the media don't realize that you're at the moment committing an overkill when it comes to cricket. I've even written yesterday in a column in the Deutsche Welle about it, that too much of cricket may be not what the people want, and you have to decide on what you want and what you don't want to do. And don't over-commercialize the product. And this is helping football. I think the other thing is that people don't have the time to spend 9 hours to watch a one-day international. That's why that's the success of the IPL, why these 3 hours in the evening are so favorable with the fans. And especially football is there. And it's good to see, especially, you know, the day we met, a lot of kids running around in Barca shirts after Barca beat Arsenal the night before. Be it in fakes, be it in originals. I mean, Bojan Krikic was the one which we picked out. Who in India knows Bojan? But there were many kids running around with Bojan t-shirts. So there is a sign, there is a shift, a positive shift that the youths, I was there also for the Maharashtra under 13 trials. It's good to see the mix of kids from all strata of society who are trying to get into that Maharashtra team, which also shows me that there is no divide anymore in that sense that, you know, that football is the poor man's game, and then, you know, that people are not interested in football. But if in a city like Mumbai, also the rich kids, the kids with, you know, affluent backgrounds, are willing to come for those trials, are willing to go to the under 13 nationals, which are not easy. You know, the accommodation is bad, you travel by train.
I think we should say that their parents are willing to let them attend the clinics and the trials.
Well, that's an important thing. Not only are the parents willing to attend, but I was sitting in the stands and, you know, a lot of parents were there all the time, especially mothers, but also fathers came in to see what are their sons doing. So it shows, you know, there's an interest, and people have understood that you have to go through the Indian route to get your kid to become a professional footballer, which means actually the state system, which isn't the best in the world, but we still have some sort of a system in place these days. And the under-13s are the start of it, and then move on and see that, you know, I had the chance to meet someone whose daughter is a top tennis player, and her younger brother happens to be a key player in the Maharashtra team. So it's a good sign. It's a very, very good sign for football. But I think that, you know, the administration and the organization of the game is that where need to be a lot of focus. We've got a new general secretary in Kushal Das. Sunanda Dhar is trying to do a lot around the I-League. But there needs to be a lot more work, a lot of support from the outside. And, you know, when help is offered, they need to accept the help as well at the AFF.
That reminds me, I read that even in the Serie B, like we have the Indian Arrows team out here, which is essentially the youth team playing in the I-League. The Serie B is also, some officials out there are also fiddling with the idea of inserting a youth team into the Serie B. I think it was the Serie B, Italian second division league. I was reading about. And the jerseys thing, the fake jerseys, Arnav, I have seen a Balak, I've seen Balak written on the back of a Barcelona jersey.
Might be something that the guys who are selling those 200-300 rupee shirts might be knowing more than us. Might be something for the summer. But of course, it's been very, very interesting to see, you know, that people are running around in shirts in India with football clubs, and a lot of people in upmarket areas are wearing original these days and spending 2,500-3,000 rupees on a real Man U, Barca, Real, whatever jersey, whatever you want to name it.
In fact, you were telling me that even Indian footballers don't blink an eyelid now while buying shoes worth 150 euros and a couple of 100 euros, the same shoes which probably the Cristiano Ronaldo's and the Lionel Messi's wear.
Certainly, certainly. Times have changed on that front. I mean, I remember I was talking to Renedy and Bijan Singh on the sidelines of the United Sikkim training that they said, you guys, about 10, 11 years ago, when we went to JJB in England, which was a sports store in malls, that you guys looked at the prices of shoes and ran off. These days, you buy everything and anything, and you actually buy shoes on orders from other players. So, you know, the times have changed dramatically, and it also shows that how much the salaries of Indian footballers have gone up over the last decade.
Yeah, I don't know, we were talking about that Serie B thing, interesting thing happening in Italy, a four-time World Cup winner.
I think it's a very interesting concept. I think it's a sign that, you know, that Bob Houghton's idea of having the Indian juniors playing in the I-League as part of the club system, and now they've been renamed as Indian Arrows, is right, because I said a four-time World Cup winning nation like Italy is considering of having their under-21s playing in Serie B because of the lack of exposure. And that has come to the fore because they were so ceremoniously dumped out of the 2010 World Cup that they've realized we need to change something. Now, if Italy thinks that they need to have a team of youngsters playing together to give them the exposure because in Serie A, mostly the main slots are taken up by foreigners, then the approach of Bob Houghton and his guys in Colin Toll and Desmond Balpin, I think, is not that wrong.
Arnav, tell us what the Indian team is up to nowadays.
Well, the Indian national team is preparing itself for the AFC Challenge Cup qualifiers, which will be held next week in Kuala Lumpur. India have been put together in a group with Turkmenistan, Pakistan and Chinese Taipei. And with India and Pakistan being in the group together, the AFC decided that it would be better that it's hosted this group of the qualifiers in its backyard. And what Bob Houghton has done is he's resting a lot of his senior players, and he's having a look at the younger players, the fringe players who've not made it to the national team, and trying to see if these boys can slowly take over from the generations of Bhaichung Bhutias, the Renedy Singhs, the Mahesh Gaulis, Deepak Mundals, Climax Lawrences, and etc.
But on Bob Houghton himself, there's a lot of confusion. What is the scene nowadays?
Well, at the moment, Bob Houghton is the India coach, and Bob has a contract which goes another 2 years. So as long as either the AFF don't fire him or Bob resigns, he is the coach for quite a while. I know that there's been this thing about the executive committee saying that they would like to fire Bob, and then these fake racism charges have been made up. The players and the Indian national team management have come out in support of Bob and saying that they were there and they did not hear anything racist as such.
It just seems like a few people in the management in the AIFF not in favor of Bob as an individual.
Well, it's not about Bob being in favor or against Bob. It's just simply that Bob Houghton, as well as some of his senior players who were there for press conferences, be it Gaurav Mangi Singh, be it Sunil Chhetri, be it Renri Singh, who were there for press conferences, that they were very, very critical about Indian football, its infrastructure, its management. And, you know, the question which was being asked at the Asian Cup and again was, why is Indian football so bad? Why has India, with a population of over a billion, not been able to produce 20, 25 footballers who are of a decent level to regularly compete at Asian level, not be amongst the top five, but at least be in the top 10, 12, 15? And if you ask these questions, and this is the way Indian footballers, at least the national team, has grown up over the last 10 years with experiences of having been to England, the World Cup qualifiers, the Asian Cup qualifiers, now the three Portugal camps, the Barcelona camp, the Dubai camps. The team has grown up. So they openly say what they think is wrong. And that is the main problem, that the AFF themselves sees itself being attacked by its own so-called employees and being exposed. And the AFC also saying that we're not happy with Indian football. And so, you know, that's the very sad scenario.
Also, it comes after a brave we could call it brave, I believe, a brave performances at the AFC Cup. There were moments where the team certainly played really well, and the crowds. India drew the biggest crowds out there, I believe.
Certainly, and I think the technical committee report, which said that India played bad and our performances were not good and the results were not okay. Either they were thinking, they are doing a technical report on Brazil and it was a major upset, or they've got no clue and should actually immediately resign. Let's be very, very honest. That anyone who says that India played badly and India didn't perform well has either got no clue about football or should not be dealing in football.
I'll tell you my favorite moment from the AFC Cup. It was our stopper by Gaurav Mangal Singh scoring against Bahrain. India was trailing by a goal by the 8th minute, and in the 11th minute, Gaurav Mangal Singh gets one back. The poignancy in this event was, A, till then arguments were whether India would even score in the tournament, forget a draw or winning a match. And B, Gaurav Mangal Singh was announced AIFF Indian Player of the Year 2010, and the next day, January 14th, generally the Makar Sankrant day when the sun begins its ascendancy into the Northern Hemisphere, Gaurav Mangi promptly bangs in a goal.
That Mangi has achieved so much over the last decade. I mean, I saw him as a 15-year-old kid with the under-17 national team, and he's developed. I mean, I've written him on our blog that he's one of the most developed players ever we've had, an intelligent boy, and he can move on and play abroad. That would be a very, very important step. Sunil's tried it, he's come back, Sunil will try again. So, these guys of Gaurav Mangi Singh's, of Sunil Chhetri's and Subrat Thapar's, to a certain extent, hopefully, maybe even a Stephen Dias, these will be showing the younger players of where to go in the future. And these are the very, very important players also for the upcoming Challenge Cup qualifiers. They will now have to lead. There is no Bajrang Bhutia, there is no Renedi Singh, no Mahesh, no Deepak, no Climax, no Sameer Naik, who will lead them. They will be now the senior players. They will now have to stand up. They will now have to show what they're made of and what they're capable of.
Yes, responsibility is on their shoulders now. Arnav, I'm also confused about the number of tournaments that AFC conducts. Could you just throw some light on that?
Yes, the AFC as such has all its tournaments are called AFC whatever. So you've got the AFC Asian Cup, which is the top tournament of the Asian Football Confederation, which is really the continental championship.
Where nations face each other. It's like the European Championship. The Euro.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's like the European Championship, Euro or Copa America, whatever you want to, African Cup of Nations. That's the top 16 nations. Well, say it's top 14 and, the two AFC Challenge Cup winners come in. Now we come, the second tier is the AFC Challenge Cup. And the added bonus to the AFC Challenge Cup is that what AFC, in my opinion, very, very cleverly has done is that teams who win that tournament go on to play the AFC Asian Cup. So there's a value of winning the AFC Challenge Cup, which is a tournament for developing football nations, which is very, very important, because to give these teams at the second tier, a team like India needs to be, and the result is, you can see North Korea actually went on to play World Cup, even though they still, ranking-wise, belong to that second tier.
Yep.
So we are there. There's also the President's Cup, which is for the weakest national teams, but that's done. But then you move on to the clubs, and that's like in Europe, you've got a Champions League, but this is called the AFC Champions League, which is for the best clubs in Asia. Top nations like Japan, China, South Korea have got, or the Saudis, they've got four teams in that tournament. Smaller nations have got 3-2-1. And there are some nations like India who play qualifiers. Dempo this year for the second time played qualifiers against Al Sadd. Again, we come back to that venue where India played against Australia and against Bahrain. Sadly lost 2-0. But then Dempo go on and play like East Bengal in the AFC Cup, with the AFC Cup being sort of for second tier nations, for the champions and the national cup winners. And then you've got the President's Cup, which is sort of for the weakest nation.
Arnav, another interesting tournament coming up is the I-League second division. Like you said, the I-League, the league in the name is a misnomer. It is more of a tournament. But there are some big boys like Mohammedan Sporting. We have Vasco, Shillong Lajong FC, Sporting Club de Goa. And there will be a lot of smaller teams from various centers across the country starting end of March. The beauty of this tournament for me is that there are several teams we know of who are working really hard, and they are very talented as well, and they will be fighting the bigger guys from the Kolkata Maidans as well in this tournament.
Well, certainly that's going to be the interesting point. I think if you look at the groups, if you look at Group A in Guwahati with Nisa from Manipur, United Sikkim, Langsning from Meghalaya, Guwahati Town Club from Assam, Southern Shomiti from Kolkata, Golden Threads, Kerala, and Shimla Youngs from Delhi. It's a very even group. If you take out Southern Shomiti, who I saw the other day against East Bengal, they won 2-1 through exceptional goals from Ed Milson, who used to play for East Bengal. And you take out United Sikkim with the potential talent being in there. Maybe Nisa, maybe Langsting are a little weak, but otherwise the other three teams might be interesting to see. But in this group A, certainly Southern Shomiti, I said I've only seen them once, but I've seen them. They look good. And United Sikkim, I've been looking at their training. I've been running around myself around their training for 4 or 5 weeks.
Of course, Baichung's team, when you think of United Sikkim, I don't know, it sounds imposing. You know, Baichung is running it, and ex and current India players would be playing. Renedy is injured for the moment, but the team sounds imposing. So you still believe that Southern Shomiti would be possibly better than United Sikkim?
Yeah, because Southern Shomiti's team is a team made up mainly of players who've seen it all on the Kolkata Maidans. You've got a very good, mature backline in Rajib Ahmed, Gurpreet Singh, Manoj Dash, which is very, very experienced. Some of these players have even played outside of Kolkata in the I-League. Ed Milson up front, Bolaji, who used to play for Dempos and East Bengal, is joining them as a foreigner. Tayo, who used to be with Air India Sporting Club, is coming in. So, very, very good team. United Sikkim's biggest drawback, and that's, I think, where Stanley Rosario, their coach, agrees with me, is the time factor. You know, a team to gel needs a few months. You can't get a team to gel like anything over a 4, 5, 6, 8 week period. So that might be a drawback. Some players are joining late. Manju will be joining straight away from the Challenge Cup. Renedy is injured. So, you know, Renedy is, for this team, very, very important because they looked up to him. He's like a hero to most of these boys. The other problem is Gulf in standard. You have boys who've played on the national level. You'll have, you know, players like Bijan Singh or hopefully Suresh, who used to play for India. You've got Kuluthungan, who's played on that level, Prem Kumar. But then you've got a lot of boys who are from Sikkim, even from the Northeast, who have not played at that level. So that's going to be a problem. They've got some good foreigners. Ichi at the back, the Japanese defender. Liberian sort of playmaker, striker, Johnny. 38 internationals to his names. Very, very good player. You know, surprisingly not playing for an I-League team, but most probably will if he stays in India next year. So that's a very, very good. From Liberia.
Yep.
And he used to play with George Weah. So, you know, he's not a bad player. And then you've got, you know, you move on Group B, which I think is the most difficult, with Mohammedan Sporting, Denjong Boys from Sikkim, Josco from Kerala, Kenkrea Friends from Bombay, Sesa Football Academy, Goa, Malabar United, Kerala, Arhima from Shillong. It's a very, very even group. I think Denjong, maybe Arhima to a certain extent might be the weakest. Josco, difficult to judge. But Malabar, Sesa last year round were in the final round along with Mohammedan. And Kenkrea, of course, developing. So we'll be interested to see how our friend Floyd does as a coach.
Yes.
A very, very interesting group. But, you know, I've seen Mohammedan against United Sikkim. I've seen, been hearing from friends their performances in the Shield as well. They look very, very good. So it might be a fight between Kenkrea, Sesa and Malabar about the second place.
Talking of Mohammedan Sporting, Arnav, they have not been in the top flight recently. But how is the support for it? It's obviously they have a pedigree, a long history back in Kolkata. How is the support base for this club now?
I think Mohammedan Sporting has one of the biggest fan bases in world football. Theoretically, any Muslim in South Asia is a potential Mohammedan Sporting fan, the way the club depicts itself. So in that sense, you know, Mohammedan Sporting, as I said, could have millions, millions, millions of fans. They still have a good support base when they play, but for them, the most important thing would be actually to get into the I-League and stay in the I-League and not go up and come down again and then maybe stay 2 years in the second division and go up again. That's been the biggest problem of the club. They've got a very good coach in Tope Fuja, who seems to be steadying the ship. I mean, Tope was in Bombay last year with Mumbai United and heard a lot of good things about him. It was interesting. He used to coach United Sikkim as well. So that's going to be an interesting one. And
Mohammedan Sporting must also be the club with the highest budget, I believe, from the finance perspective, out of this group.
Yes, not only this group, but in this league. I guess Mohammedan Sporting, besides Sporting Club, and Lajong might not be that high, but those are the biggest spenders in the sense. I mean, even Southern Shomiti, Arians, Vasco, you know, these guys have got good budgets these days. So that will be interesting.
Vasco and the Aryan club is the Group C, Madurai. They'll be playing in Madurai.
Well, those are my favorites. I think Aryan as well as Vasco should be the strongest. If you look at Chandni FC from Kerala, Royal Waingo from Sikkim, from Meghalaya. Eagles FC from Kerala, I haven't heard much about them. PIFA from Mumbai, BEML from Bangalore. You know, that's an interesting one. It's an interesting group, but, you know, Vasco and Arians should normally go through. BEML has to still get its gains to play second division because they are a public sector unit club, you know, and it looks at the moment that Air India, ONGC and HAL might be forced to leave the first division. So it would be very interesting to see what happens on that front. And I said, you know, and whoever gets through these tough six matches and gets into the final round might be better placed than Sporting Club and Lajong because they haven't played any competitive matches as such getting to that stage.
Yeah, listeners should know that Lajong FC and Sporting Club will be in the final round directly. And two teams out of these three groups will go and meet them in the final round. And Arnav, generally only two teams, the top two, will move on, will get promoted to the I-League. But as you said, anything could happen. It's Indian football after all.
Well, that's the problem. That's the opportunity as well. That if those three clubs that I've mentioned before, Air India, ONGC and HAL, do not get a license to play in the I-League next season, then maybe the 3rd, 4th and 5th team might be given a chance to move up. You never know.
Yeah, and also in Kolkata, Arnav, you had a chance to meet with Vikash Dhorasu.
Yes, that was
How was it? How did it go?
That was a funny one. Vikash is an old friend. I got to know him when I did an interview with him many, many years back. And I visited his place in France 2 years ago in March 2009. And
he's from the Brittany region, I believe.
Yes, but he's now based in Paris. Of course, yes, his grandparents left India. They were from Andhra, went to Mauritius. His parents went from Mauritius to France. He's born in France. And Vikash was actually in India for a film project. He's got with a friend, a film financing company. So there was a documentary, a short film, which was being launched in Bombay. So they were there. And he wanted to have a look at Indian football. It was his second visit to India. So I then got him in, said to him, he wanted to watch football either in Bombay and Delhi. Bombay, of course, is closed because there is no football at the Cooperage. No I-League football. And there was
different
supposed
story.
To be a different story. We should discuss it another day. And in Delhi, there was actually a match scheduled of the Indian Arrows. So he thought he could watch the Indian Arrows. But that would have been in Gurgaon anyway. But, you know, but that got cancelled because the Indian Arrows had to play Olympic qualifiers against Myanmar. So I said, listen, I'm in Cal. We haven't met for a couple of years. Why don't you come across to Kolkata? Watch some football. And, you know, Ranadi Singh is a common friend of ours. And I'll introduce you to Bajim Bhutia. He liked the idea and soon came across. And there we were sitting in Kolkata suddenly and in private and everyone got to know. So we had to call an official press conference sort of thing at an event from the Football Players Association.
Interesting. Does Ranadi take tips from him? Because both are number eights, aren't they?
Well, it was an interesting discussion one of these evenings where we're sitting at an Italian joint and talking about football and all and how you take free kicks and, you know, dead ball situations and all. So you go, it was a very interesting discussion to follow when two specialists talk about these kind of things. And I jokingly said, listen, this is going to a different level. I'm a striker. So, you know, you just ensure you get the ball to me and I score. But, you know, and of course, now I come in with my Bayern Munich pedigree. So
I'm sure. I'm sure they passed you the bill.
No, luckily I could pass the bill back because it says the Bayern Munich playing career of mine was, of course, unpaid as such. So that's a different story altogether. But it's a fun one because it is interesting because I've met a lot of footballers over the years, but I haven't met a guy as honest, as down to earth, and as also as straightforward as Vikash. I mean, one of the questions was, weirdly, is like, you know, who will win the Cricket World Cup? You know, and then he suddenly points to me, said, you know, Arnavo comes from Germany. I come from France. We don't play this weird sport called cricket. A lot of people saying that would have been most probably lynched in India. But because it's that kind of character. And he said, you know, if you think it's a sport. But for me, it isn't. So, you know, let's not even go and discuss it. That was quite funny. But that's the situation.
Probably
that's
about cultures. But the interesting point that he was emphasizing on, I thought, when he met with reporters, was his physique. And he was saying that Indians need not feel undone by that factor as far as international football is concerned. How tall would he be? I don't know, 5'6", 5'7"?
5'7", yeah. He's about 168. He's a little shorter than me. So
this man played along with Zinedine Zidane. Yep,
amongst others. And the thing with Vikash is, of course, is that it's about technical abilities, about class, and about able to learn and willing to learn. So that was the most important thing that I understood from what he said, was always saying and again, especially with the younger players when we met, was that he said, listen, you have to work on your basics. That's very, very important. And if you work on your basics and you can ensure the basics are right, you can achieve anything. On that front, Vikash is a very, very big and massive role model. And hopefully in India, we recognize that more than it has been so far, because I think a lot of people don't really recognize how important someone like Vikash Dhawasu could be for our football.
Actually, I believe even Vikash should, not just Vikash, people like Michael Chopra should also, from their side, should try to let people know that they are around and they are interested. Of course, Vikash Dhawasu has started off a program, Indo-French. He has plans to do something for football between India and France, is what I've read.
Well, that's the hope that we have. Let's see if the French expertise is wanted and accepted. It's again the same thing, you know, that people have come and have offered you help and support. But Indian football has to also accept that. So let's see if that happens.
So I don't know, big game coming up again tomorrow, Freiburg versus Bayern Munich, an away game for Bayern, for troubled Bayern Munich. But Freiburg being coached, of course, by another Indian origin individual, Mr. Robin Dutt. Loyalty divided for you tomorrow?
No. For me, it's very, very clear that I am a Bayern Munich fan. Of course, I do follow what Robin has been doing over the last decade or so. But for me, it's very, very clear. Tomorrow, I'll be supporting Bayern Munich, and they'll be needing my support as well. I think it's a difficult time for the club, but we need to come through it. And if they lose, which I hope it doesn't happen, but if they lose, that might be the last match for Louis van Gaal, and he might not see the end of the season. So it's a very, very tough one. But
it is also unusual, because the striker is in pristine form. Mario Gomez. Müller is as well playing well. Robin, of course. I've thought that in the last few games that I've watched, on the left flank, there is a gap.
Well, it's a difficult one to say. I mean, the problem is that what you face at Bayern Munich at the moment is that up front, I think Bayern Munich is one of the best teams in Europe. At the back, defense has let the team down too often. I don't think it'll change this season, but maybe next year that can be corrected and you know, can be put in place in such a way that Bayern can achieve, you know, winning Bundesliga, German Cup, maybe Champions League, under whoever comes in as the coach.
Anyway, discussing Bayern Munich, we'll keep for another day. That's all for today. Arunav, thanks to be around. And of course, this was our first The Sports Binge with Arunav podcast, and we hope to be back with several more. Thanks, Arunav. Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot. Good night, everyone.